You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation. Good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. And we greet and welcome all you listeners wherever you may be, maybe on the internet somewhere in the world. Or I hope maybe you're on the radio here in our local area, up and down the Treasure Coast here, to listen to our program. And this is an outreach ministry of Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. Don and I co-pastor this church in Stuart, Florida, and we have for over 21 years now. We're honored to be here with you. So we tell you every week that you've been listening. We hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. We've got some interesting things to talk about again here today. So as we say, we welcome, greet you, and hallelujah, have ears to hear what the Spirit of God's going to say to you during this time today. And we're always honored to be part of WCNO Radio. They're on 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Amen. With good music and teaching. And so we're honored to be a part of this ministry with him as well. And so we welcome you. And I know right now, Pastor Don, we're talking to somebody that's listening, that's never listened to the program before.
First time.
We greet you. We welcome you to this program. It's not about Don and I. It's about the Word of God, which he's wanting to reveal to us. So we greet you, and we hope you glean something out of it for your benefit with the Jewish roots and all the things we talk about. And so before we start, we're going to make a few announcements here. My precious wife here is sitting with me. She's got some announcements to make, and then we'll do a little teaching with you again today. And I might mention this before we start. If you'd like to get a copy of what we're going to talk about today, all you have to do is make out a check to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, whatever the Lord tells you to give. And you can tell us whether you want a CD or a tape. Most people want CDs, but we'll do either one. And give the date of the program. And mail it in, and we'll be glad to get it out to you.
Send your address. Don't forget, send your address. Amen. Well, we'll be glad to get it out to you. Amen. And also, Pastor Gene, we are also on the internet.
Sure.
So you can go and listen to WCNO.com, mm-hmm. and you can all and just go to Saturday and look for Raising the Standard, Pastor Gene Hilton.
Amen.
And you'll be able to listen to this program again and others. There's a lot of different programs that we have done on there over the last couple of years, I believe. Mm-hmm. So, you can listen to us again there if you have that opportunity, or if you're traveling down the highway and you'd like to listen to us again. So next, every Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time, you can go to the internet and you can listen to this radio program. Praise God, it goes around the world, doesn't it, Pastor Gene?
Sure,
anyone in the world. As long as you have the right, if you go to the website and you listen to of them, you can find whatever you want to listen
to.
So we've been talking about Pentecost because that is the next feast that we'll be talking
mm-hmm.
about. It's the next feast in the spring, these spring's feasts. And so we're teaching on that for the last couple of weeks, and we will be talking about it again today. And I just want to say hello to all you out there that listen to us, that those that call and say they're praying for us. I just want to thank them as well, because, we need those prayer warriors out there. And we just thank the people for keeping us in prayer, and also for helping to keep this radio broadcast on WCNO. And amazing, we never thought we'd go be everywhere. You know, we just got a prophecy one time that would cover 50 miles northeast, south, and west. But now, look how God expands
it. When you're all the world. Huh?
When you're faithful, you know what He does. He makes your, I think somewhere in the Psalm where it talks about He enlarges your feet. Yeah. To me, that's
and your territory.
Your territory. Yeah. And so it's, you can go to greater places and many more people can hear the truth. Because the Bible says the truth will make us free. And of course, we know, you all know out there, most of you, that we do teach out of the King James Version. And we have many reasons why we do that. But it says the truth will make you free. And we want to be free.
That's right.
Amen. We want to be free. We want to say hello to Roscoe and Audrey on Andros Island. We spoke with them this week. And, you know, the blocks are beginning to come in. And so more and more blocks are coming. If you want to give something towards the blocks, for building the temple of God on Andros Island. You know, the temple is going up. That's the name of the church. Roscoe and Audrey Walks are the apostles and prophets on that island that's building this church. It's called Temple of God, and they have services there. And also Shabbat services and services there during the week and also on Sunday. So we're just blessed to be able to be part of them and to be able to help them to bring these blocks in that the building will go up. Amen.
Yeah, so
right now they're having services in a tent.
That's right.
But that won't be a tent for a while, for a long. But you know, the tent, remember how holy the tent of the Lord was? Even when they had built a house for God in Israel, you know, that was even became defiled, didn't it?
That's right.
We always needs to be a holy place, a temple of God. And they have a holy place on the island. So, you know, as the blocks come in, they go up in the steel, and then the building will be
completed. So if you're led to give an offering to them, you can just send a check to us. I forgot to mention up front, if you want a CD or a tape, you mail it to Post Office Box 413. The name of the ministry is Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, and it's in Stuart, Florida. And the address is as I mentioned, P.O. Box 413, Stuart 34995. I'll give you the whole thing again, so you might want to write it down. If you want to send a check for Roscoe and Audrey or just a love offering to us as a gift, write it on the check what it's for. If it's going to be for Roscoe and Audrey, write on there the Temple of God, and we'll make sure they get it. So again, mail it to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, Post Office Box 413. That's in Stuart, Florida. And the zip here is 34995. And you will truly be blessed if you sow into that ministry.
Amen. I also want to say that we have services here in Stuart, Florida, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries.
Hallelujah.
Right on Kanner Highway and in Stuart, close to downtown Stuart. So if you'd like to come to worship with us, we have services on Friday evening, 7 p.m. Right, we have Shabbat services at Friday evening at 7 p.m. And we have services on Saturday, and we have prayer Saturday evening. And then we have also on Sunday morning, we have our worship
meeting.
And that's at 10 a.m. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
And so I'm going to give our phone number in a minute. I also want to mention before I give the phone number is that we will be having Prophet Gary Brooks with us in just a few weeks. So mark your calendar for it's going to be June 6th, 7th, and 8th. That's a Friday night and a Saturday night at 7 p.m. and Sunday morning at 10 a.m. So if you would like to have a calendar, we have the May calendars are ready to be mailed out. Anybody who would like to have a calendar, just to give us a call. We'd be glad to mail it to you. And the phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that. It's area code 772-285-7007.
And I would like to ask everybody just to pray for us, like Donna mentioned.
Amen.
And as you're praying, ask the Lord, is there something that He might want you to give to this ministry, that we could go on and accomplish what God wants?
More.
And some of you have been listening for years. We've talked to a lot of people who have been listening for years. So if you've never given anything, ask the Lord, and He'll tell you what to do. You'll be obedient to that, and guess what? You will be blessed, and we will be blessed here as well, because we'll be able to continue the work that God has us
Amen.
To do.
Amen.
So we're honored to be here with you, as we mentioned, and we hope you can stay tuned in for the entire program. But if you can't, we gave you an opportunity up front to get the CD or the tape from today. We're right in the middle now of counting this Omer we've been talking about. And today's the 21st day of counting the Omer. So we're out to, what do we have here? We have, 19 days left, don't we, Pastor Dale, until we come to the day of Pentecost. And so the days are going by and they're being numbered. And of course, the Jews are that years ago. And they counted out to the beginning of the wheat harvest, and the early wheat harvest that came, and this is an interesting season that we're in now to understand that. And so we go from the barley harvest to the early wheat harvest, and we're looking for these 50 days. It's interesting. So as I was kind of dozing here a little bit this morning before we came on the program, I got thinking about what we could talk about. I thought about something very interesting in the little book of Ruth. So if you can get your Bible out, if you're at home, please don't do this in a car.
You were dozing or meditating?
Yeah, a little bit of both.
A little bit of both.
And so the Lord began to speak to me a little bit because I remember some things about the book of Ruth that I've read over and over many times. And so if you got a Bible and you're at home, you can open up to the book of Ruth. And remember, it's the little book just before 1 Samuel.
And, you know, you think about dozing, and when you wake up in the morning, you know, a lot of times God gives you things when you're coming out of that sleep, you know, sleep, but you're coming out of, and as you have your mind upon the Lord, even when you go to bed, you wake up with your mind still upon the Lord. You know, we need to always have on the full armor of God.
That's right.
And because we need to have the mind of Christ even in our sleep, because, you know, the demons, the devils like to come in and speak to people during their sleep and lie. But, you know, we need to always be covered in the blood of Yeshua and have on the full armor of God, like it says over there in Ephesians, right, Pastor Gene?
That's right.
And so, you know, when you wake up in the morning, like you said, you're kind of dozing, you're kind of starting to wake up. But you know, all of a sudden, the Lord, many times the Lord speaks to people
in
those early hours in the morning just before they are totally awake.
So we're going to go over to the little book of Ruth. And before we do this, there's some names here. I'm not going to mention. There's some key names that I wrote down this morning before it came on. I thought it was interesting. We're going to hear about Boaz in this book. His name means strength. Naomi, her name means my joy, also pleasant. Ruth means something worth seeing. I thought this was incredible. Mm. So we're thinking about, we're going to find out that Ruth was a Gentile. Naomi was Jewish, and we know that Boaz was Jewish. So I thought about this morning as I looked at this. Boaz is a picture, a pattern here of God the Father. He's our strength, isn't he? And then I thought about Naomi. Well, she was Jewish. So the Jewish people are what? God's joy. They really are. Then Ruth, picture of all of us, the Gentiles, what? We're something worth seeing. God wants us to come too. So it's interesting. We look at this little book and see what God wants us to know with this. Well, if you never read the little book of Ruth, it's an interesting book. And we know that Naomi was married to a man by the name of Abimelech. And of course, we find out that he died, and she had two sons, and so they got married and all that. And then in verse 3 of chapter 1 says, Abimelech? I meant to tell you Elimelech. I get it right in a minute. I'm thinking about Abimelech. It's Elimelech, E-L. Naomi's husband died, and she was left, and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. So they married into the pagan nation of the Moabites. And so the two were what? Orpah and Ruth was the other one, and they dwelt there about 10 years. Well, then later on, we find out the two sons of Naomi, well, they also, they died and left Naomi with her two sons and all that. Her two sons died. And so here she was all alone except for Orpah and Ruth. And so Naomi decides she's going to go back to Israel. She was over here, it mentions here, they were there for about 10 years. She decided to go back home. Well, she told her two daughter-in-laws to stay in your country where you're at and stay there if that's your total desire. But we find out over here in verse 14 of chapter 1 of Ruth, when she told them this, it says, and these two daughters, they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. So we have to see an interesting thing right here, what happens here, you know, with all this. And so Ruth was a Gentile, remember this, okay? And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. So Ruth the Moabite decides to go back to Israel. It's interesting, okay? Now, I guess we find out Orpah stays here, it looks like, okay? But we'll go on. I can't read the whole book. I wish we could. So verse 19 in chapter 1 says, so they too went until they came to Bethlehem. Interesting. They came back to Bethlehem, and we know that's called the house of bread, isn't it? And interesting thing about Bethlehem, we find out that in the future, and we look at all this, that Bethlehem is where they raised all the lambs that would be sacrificed in the temple area. And so isn't it apropos that Yeshua was born in Bethlehem? Hallelujah, the house of bread. He is our bread, isn't he? And so they went back to Israel, and they went to Bethlehem. Now, where do I want to go here? Thank you, Lord. Let me finish reading verse 19. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them, and they said, is this Naomi? Because you know she'd been gone for quite a while. And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, but call me Mara. Well, the name Mara means bitter, because she felt there was a bitterness in her heart about what happened. It says, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me, you know, losing her husband and her two sons and all that. And so verse 21, and so I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing that the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem. Now here's the key thing, in the beginning of the barley harvest. So what's the barley harvest? We already talked about this before. It's when Passover comes. So they came there in the beginning of the barley harvest. So here we are. Naomi lost her husband, Elimelech, her two sons and all that. So here they are. They're back in Israel, and they have nothing. They just brought what they had on their body, probably, and a few things, and that was it. So then we go into chapter 2 of the book of Ruth, and we find out some interesting things here. It says, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. So here we got a kinsman here in her family. So Boaz's name, remember, mentions what means strength. Now, and Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. So we find out she went out to the fields of Boaz. He was a wealthy man, and she was able to glean the fields when they were doing the harvest time. Okay? Now we go down here to verse 4. It says, and behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? Talking about Ruth. And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitess damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field. He said, I want you to stay in my fields. Neither go from hence, but bide here fast by my maidens. Stay next to them. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? Hallelujah. And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered, listen to this, and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law, who's this, Naomi, since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. So Naomi comes, and so does Ruth, and so we see Boaz takes Ruth under his wing, basically, and lets her glean among the sheaves and all that. And so she continued to do this. We're in chapter 2 now. So she gleaned in the field until eve, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an eph of barley. So we're still talking about barley in the spring, okay? Glory be to God. And so then Ruth begins to reveal to her mother-in-law, Naomi, about what Boaz was going to do for her. It's incredible. And then chapter 2, verse 21 is interesting. And Ruth, the Moabitess, said, he said unto me, who's talking about Boaz, said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast, means near, by my young men until I have ended what? All my harvest. This is going to talk about barley and the wheat harvest. So let's go on. Chapter 2, verse 22. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast, means near, by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley harvest. Listen, barley harvest and the wheat harvest. and dwelt with her mother-in-law. So she spent all that time, quite a few months. You know, we're talking about counting 50 days from what? From Passover to the Pentecost. And so here she did. She did all this gleaning. And now I'm going to go over to chapter 4, which is the last chapter in this little book of Ruth. Just, I'll challenge you. Take a little time this week and read this. This is a real eye-opener. It really is when you look at it all. All right. I'm going to start. Well, let's do this. I'm going to start in chapter 3, verse 14. Listen to this. And she lay at his feet until the morning, remember, at Boaz's feet. And she rose up before one could know another. And he said, let it be known that a woman came unto the floor, into the floor. And he said, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee, and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley, and laid it on her, and she went into the city. So she used her veil to hold all the barley weight. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, who art thou, my daughter? And she told her, because it was early in the morning, and all that that man had done to her. And she said, these 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. Then said she, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. All right, now think about that. Boaz was a wealthy man. He sat in the gate with all the elders where decisions were made. So we go on to chapter 4 now. It says,
he had just begun a thing.
That's right.
So it was going to be finished.
Going to be finished, right?
Didn't she have some wisdom there?
She sure did.
To say, you know, wait. Don't rush into things. You
know,
so many people, God starts something and people rush into things.
That's it.
So she was saying, she said, be patient. She basically saying, sit still, my daughter, till thou know how the matter will fall.
That's right.
Because it wasn't finished. Because she even said this, he had begun this thing.
That's right.
And you know, think about six. Six is the number of man.
That's right.
And so it has six deals with the how God deals with man and God works with man.
Sure.
And it's just, you know, it's so prophetic here how he gave her these 6 measures of barley.
Barley.
And barley is the early
harvest. Passover.
It's right after Passover. It's the Passover harvest. And so it's. And it's building up to Pentecost. So here she's waiting for a time. Did this all happen at Pentecost? I don't know.
Well, from the beginning to end, it's approximately 50 days. Yeah.
It's in that time period. Sure. And so, and what does 50 represent?
Mm-hmm.
You know, she came from a place of, you know, no children and a land that wasn't... It was her land before, but she came into a new place, a new land, and God was giving her a new destination.
That's right, because Ruth was
a
never
new destiny.
Jewish. That's right.
A new destiny.
She started a new destiny. She sure did. So from the beginning, this to the end, is talking about approximately those 50 days from the beginning of the book until the end. So chapter 4 here now, we're around the wheat harvest.
Now he goes to the gate, and the gate is the place where
decisions
are made.
That's right.
And judgments are made.
Hallelujah.
And... excuse me. Go ahead, Pastor.
So we go to chapter 4 now, and this is the last chapter. We're not going to read the whole thing, but I want to show you a couple of things. Then went Boaz up to the gate and set him down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. Now remember, Ruth was a Moabite, so she wasn't Jewish. We're going to find out that the next of line kinsman in this refuses to take her as his wife. We're going to see this. We read this. Listen to this. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit ye down here. And they sat down. So here's a group of men to make a decision. And he said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that has come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land which was our father Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is none to redeem it besides thee, and I am after thee. So Boaz was the second one in line. And he said, I will redeem it. That's what Boaz said. Then said Boaz, what day thou buyest a field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess. And so verse 4, he said, I will redeem. I said that wrong. Boaz didn't say that. This was the next of kin to redeem. After Boaz told him these things, he said, well, I will redeem it. Okay. But when he finds out he has to take Ruth also, he changes his mind. Listen to this. Then said Boaz, what day thou buyest a field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. and the kinsman, the one the next one in line, said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem not thou, he says, redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. So he says, I'm not going to redeem it. Now, verse 7. Now, this was the matter in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing, you know, like for property and all that. For to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore, the kinsman, the one that was the next one in line, said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. So Boaz bought the property. Okay, he was wealthy, had lots of money, I'm sure, what he did in those days. And he also took Ruth to be his wife. Isn't that incredible? Now, verse 9 says, and Boaz said unto the elders and to all the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion and Mahalon's. That was Elimelech's two sons that died of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahalon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. You are witnesses this day. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that has come unto thine house like Rachel. How, listen to this, like Rachel and like Leah, which two did build the house of Israel, and do thou worthily in Ephratah, and be famous in Bethlehem. Amen. It's interesting. Now let's go on down to verse 13 now. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife, and when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, and his name may be famous in Israel. You know, a kinsman is a redeemer. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age, for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. Now Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom, became nurse unto it. Amen. Mm-hmm. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He's the father of Jesse and the father of David. Now, I looked up this morning, the word Obed, his name means a worshiper. Isn't that interesting?
Wow.
That came from that union. Now, this is what we want to share with us, thinking about these 50 days, because we're right in the middle of all this now. And so, from the beginning of Ruth till the end, they started the barley harvest, and the conclusion of all this came during the wheat harvest. It's interesting what happens here. But look what God reveals here in the rest of this book. I thought it was amazing when I was thinking about this morning, when I was kind of meditating on some things. Now, let's go on. So he called his name Obed. He's the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now, let's read these next few verses. Now, these are the generations of Perez. Perez begat Hezron, and Hezron begat Ram, and Ram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Nashon, and Nashon begat Salmon, S-A-L-M-O-N, and Salmon begat what? Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. Now, if you count these sons, and there's generations, there's 10 generations here. This is kind of interesting. But you notice the very first son here is mentioned in this genealogy, who is Perez. Now, remember, he was an illegitimate child. This is interesting. I want to share a little bit with you about this. He's an illegitimate child. Now, we can prove this. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 23. We're going to come back, so don't lose your place. I'm going to go to Deuteronomy with you, the book of Deuteronomy. And look and see what God showed. He is so faithful to his word. When he says something, he means it. I think it's incredible when we think about what God does with his word. So we can believe it. So we're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 23. And I want to look at verse 1 and 2 with you. Deuteronomy 23. I'm getting my pages to turn here. I went a little bit too far here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All right. I'm moseying over here easily through the pages of my Bible here. All right. 23, we mentioned, and I want to read verse 2. Listen to this now. I might read verse 1 with it here. These are some of the instructions that God gave. Verse 1 says this, he that is wounded in the stones, well, then we know the stones are what? Testicles is what he's talking about here. Or hath his privy member cut off, shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Now look what he says next. A bastard. So what was a bastard?
An illegitimate child.
Shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to his 10th generation, shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Now remember, there's 10 generations mentioned here in the book of Ruth. Now I'm going to go back and show you, we're going to go back a little further. We want to go to Genesis 38 now, and let's see what history was here and why God did this, okay? And we can see all this. I'm going to go to Genesis chapter 38, I think I said. All right, Genesis chapter 38, and we need to start in verse 24, I think it is. I might back up a little bit here. Genesis 38, thank you, Lord Jesus. I should open these book, these pages up and laid it open for you. That's all right. All right. Now, yeah, we're going to start in verse 24. We need to lay a little history here. Let's do this. I'm going to back up and read a few verses with you. Hallelujah. Starting in verse 12 of chapter 23, or 30, I'll get it in a minute, of chapter 38. Listen to this. Hallelujah. Well, I think we need to back up one more verse here, Pastor, and I'm just thinking about this. I'm going to go to verse 11. Then said Judah to Tamar, his daughter-in-law, remain a widow, remember her husband died, in thy father's house till Shelah, my son be grown. For he said, lest peradventure he die also, as his brethren did. And Tamar went and dwelt in her father's house, waiting for this young man to grow up.
Mm-hmm.
Now in verse 12, in the process of time, the daughter of Shua, Judah's wife, died, and Judah was comforted and went up into his sheep shears to Timnath, and he and his friend Hira, the Adullamite. When I went to Israel last time, I went to Timnah. Verse 13, and it was told Tamar, saying, behold, thy father-in-law go up to Timnath to shear his sheep. And she put her widow's garments off from her, and covered her with a veil, and wrapped herself, and set an open place, which is by the way to Timnah. For she saw that Shelah was grown, and she was not given unto him to wife. So she waited all those years, and he still was not given to her for her husband. Verse 15, when Judah saw her, he thought her to be a harlot, because she had covered her face. And he turned unto her, by the way, and said, go to, I pray thee, let me come into thee. For he knew not that she was his daughter-in-law. And she said, what wilt thou give me, that thou mayest come into me? And he said, I will send thee a kid from the flock. And she said, wilt thou give me a pledge till thou send it? And he said, what pledge shall I give thee? And she said, thy signet, meaning his ring, and thy bracelets, and thy staff that is in thine hand. And he gave it her, and came in unto her, and she conceived by him. So she got pregnant. And she arose and went away, and laid by her veil from her, and put on the garments of her widowhood. And Judah sent the kid by the hand of his friend, the Adullamite, to receive his pledge from the woman's hand, but he found her not. Then he asked the men of that place, saying, where is the harlot that was openly by the wayside? And they said, there was no harlot in this place. And he returned to Judah and said, I cannot find her. And also the men of the place said, there was no harlot in this place. And Judah said, let her take it to her, lest we be shamed. Behold, I send this kid, and thou hast not found her. Now here's the key part now, verse 24. We're going to read a few verses. And it came to pass, after 3 months, after that it was told Judah, saying, Tamar, thy daughter-in-law, hath played the harlot, and also, behold, she is with child by whoredom. And Judah said, bring her forth, and let her be burnt. Listen to that, huh? When she was brought forth, she sent to her father-in-law, saying, by the man whose these are, am I with child. And she said, discern, I pray thee, whose are these, the signet and bracelets and staff. And Judah acknowledged them and said, she had been more righteous than I, because that I gave her not to Shelah, my son, and he knew her again no more. And it came to pass in the time of her travail, that behold, twins were in her womb. And it came to pass when she travailed, that the one put out his hand, and the midwife took and bound upon his hand a scarlet thread, like a pattern of the blood, saying, this came out first. And it came to pass, as she drew back his hand, that behold, his brother came out, and she said, how hast thou broken forth? This breach be upon thee. Therefore, his name was called what? Phares. That's what his name means, is a breach. And afterward came out his brother that had the scarlet thread upon his hand, and his name was called what? Zerah. So we see this illegitimate child that came. All right. Now, we took you back, go back over to Deuteronomy, where we're at, chapter 23. Let's see what God said, and then we're going to go back to Ruth, okay? So I'm back in Deuteronomy, chapter 23, all right? Just verse 2. A bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to what? His tenth generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Hallelujah. Whoa. And then verse 3 says, an Ammonite or a Moabite, remember where Ruth was from, mm-hmm, shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to their tenth generation again, shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. Well, Ruth was accepted, wasn't she? Now, let's go back. Let's go back to Ruth. I'm going to go back to Ruth here. Get back here. that little book just before 1 Samuel. I should have stuck my finger and kept it there. That's all. So we're back here. We're in chapter 4 again. All right. Now let's think about this. Listen, this is incredible when you think about all this. So God said that anyone that was a bastard, you know, an illegitimate child, or had some kind of problem, you know, physically, we just talked about, he mentioned again, all right, they were not to enter in to the congregation of the Lord for, what, 10 generations. And so it was like there was a curse put on this because of what Judah did, okay? So if we go down to verse 18, we're going to read these verses, and let's look what God did here. Now, I'm going to read 17 in chapter 4 of Ruth again. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, the baby, huh? There is a son born to Naomi. It wasn't born to Naomi, it was Ruth, but Naomi was the mother-in-law, right?
That's right.
And they called his name Obed. He's the father of Jesse, the father of David. So they mentioned that right up front. And now we go through the genealogy. Now listen to this. God's word says they could not enter in for 10 generations because of what happened, what Judah did. They brought forth Perez, okay? And his name means breach. Now here we go. Verse 18. Now these are the generations of Perez. Perez begat Hezron, and Hezron begat Ram, and Ram begat Amminadab. And Amminadab begat what? Nashon. Nashon begat Salmon, S-A-L-M-O-N. And Salmon begat Boaz. And Boaz begat Obed. And Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David. If you count that those generations there, there's 10 sons that are involved before they could get back into the congregation of the Lord. And it leads right up to King David. Isn't that incredible? So I think about Ruth. Here she is, a Moabite woman, okay, a Gentile, but came to Israel, and God accepted her because of the love that she had for her mother-in-law and also for Israel. Mm-hmm. Think about it. He honored her, and so she's in the genealogy all the way down to the birth of Yeshua. Isn't it incredible? Because the 10th generation was David, then they were allowed to come back into the generations. Isn't it incredible? So we awesome. See all this, and this little book, as we mentioned, started at the barley harvest, which is Passover, and the conclusion of it was at the wheat harvest, you know, the early summer harvest of wheat. So it's incredible. So we're talking about this time of Pentecost. Well, what is Pentecost all about? What's it about? We know that that's when the church was started over in Acts chapter 2 and all that. But the Jews had to honor that, didn't they? They did it every year. You know, they counted out the 50 days from Passover, and they came out onto Sivan 6, and it was Pentecost. And so we see what happened. So what happened on that day? That's the day that God spoke from Mount Sinai, and all the Jews heard him speak. They literally heard him. They trembled.
Right.
They didn't want to hear him speak again. They were afraid, okay? And so we mentioned before, he used this exact day, some 1,500 years in the future, in Acts chapter 2, to declare himself again, not him personally speaking, but what did he do? He filled all those believers that were there. He baptized them in the Holy Ghost. That sudden wind came in, and fire rested on each of their shoulders.
Amen.
And they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance to speak it. And so they were all filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and did that. And so that was the whole pattern. So I thought about this with the little book of Ruth here, you know. Well, starting the barley harvest, and look what happened. She was blessed, I mean totally blessed at the end, around the time of Pentecost, when the wheat harvest came in. So it's an incredible pattern here, I think, again, of what we have with going from the barley harvest to what? To the wheat harvest. And so what's it called? We're counting the Omer, aren't we? They're counting the wheat. It's going to come in. So they have a wave offering before the Lord. So what an incredible event that happened here. And it shows you how accurate God's word is. He, when he says something, he means it, and he will not deviate from it. Mm-hmm. So this is incredible that none of these people were honored to be in part of the leadership and all of the congregation of the Lord until we got up to King David. Isn't that incredible? So here we go. It's an amazing story. So Obed was the son of Boaz and Ruth. Amen. And we mentioned his name means what? He's a worshiper. Hallelujah.
Worshiper.
He's a worshiper. And then what? Obed begat Jesse. And what? Jesse begat David, led down to the King David in that time in history. It's incredible. I love it. Don't you love it? Huh? So isn't that wonderful? And so Ruth is an incredible picture of what? I'm a Gentile. I was never, as far as I know, I'm not Jewish. But reading this, I know I have the privilege to be in the kingdom of God. And we see Ruth is also a pattern of that. Ruth was. How about, I'm thinking about, glory be to God. I'm going out in another realm here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But, you know, Ruth was a Moabite. She was a Gentile. So it's incredible that God used her in the lineage down also. How about Rahab the harlot, Pastor Donna? Another Gentile woman that was used, and she was led, her genealogy from her down led up to what? The Messiah as well. And so it's a pattern showing us all that God wants everyone to be in the kingdom of God. So we thank you for that. And so I always think about this, that the barley harvest was at the time, really I thought about today, was a time really for Israel with the Passover and all that. But then we get out to Pentecost, we see in Acts chapter 2, it's for all nations, isn't it, Pastor Don? God wants them all to be there. And so what an incredible picture with all this. And so these men that begat all these sons and led up to King David, it's incredible. And then David, we know that it tells us in, I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 1 with you now. Listen to this. This is an interesting topic here. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 1. I'm going to read verse 16 first by itself. And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus or Yeshua, who is called Christ. Now listen to this. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. So how many generations is that? How many is that? We do what here? We put 14 and we're going to put what? 3 in? It's what? 42 years or 42 generations. Isn't that incredible? And so he gives us a little clue. Well, over here we see that what happened with Ruth, it led up to David, didn't it? Well, then we see God tells us how many generations from Abraham down to David, and we see how far that is, 14 generations, and he talks about David. David until the carrying away of the into Babylon was what? Another 14 generations. And from the Babylonian captivity until what? Christ came was what? 14 generations. I kind of share this in my commentary, if you order this commentary, about the prophetic calendar and also the pictures of the Messiah. I kind of mentioned some of this in one of the lessons about all this time that we have in place. Amen? So everything is so prophetic in the book. Isn't it, Pastor Donna? Everything is so prophetic that God wants us to know in the Word of God. So I kind of thought about this morning, because here we are. Today's what? The 21st day of what? Counting the Omer, right? So we're getting close, aren't we? No, it's the 26th day. I'm sorry. Last week was 21. I think today's the 26th day. Look on your calendar.
Today
I think
is the
26th day, I believe.
Today's the 17th.
Right. On our calendar.
31st day.
Okay, it's the 31st day. We'll get it right here in a minute. It's hard to keep track of, but anyway, it's the 31st day. So here we are now. We're down to what? We're down to 19 days, and we're going to be at the time of Pentecost again to
celebrate. Jesus remained on the earth until the 40th day of counting the Omer, and then he went back. Then he went back to heaven, and then, you know, the disciples waited just like she was told to wait, right?
Mm-hmm.
To wait and to wait upon the Lord, because God had an answer.
That's right.
But it's interesting, you know, Naomi. She had a prophetic word.
Yes, she did, right at the beginning.
She had a prophetic word, mm-hmm. right at the beginning. Well,
that's right.
In chapter 3, and
yeah.
even before, she had a prophetic word mm-hmm. of what her daughter-in-law was to do.
That's right.
And it's interesting, her daughter-in-law was more of a blessing than 7 sons, it says.
That's right.
You know, she listened, she obeyed, she was patient. She did exactly what as she followed her mother-in-law. You know, she was, I would say she was holy in her day, you know.
That's right.
She was worthy to be the son, to bring forth this son that would lead to King David
mm-hmm.
and all the way down to Christ. Now, the other gentleman who could have taken her, he had first choice.
That's right.
He didn't want to, I would say, dirty his hands.
Yeah.
He didn't want
a Moabite.
Right. He didn't want to do that. He thought I think about the Jew and the Gentile.
Hallelujah.
How they came into the kingdom, you know. And he even says, even in the word it says over here, talks about her being like Rachel and like Leah.
That's right.
It says, the Lord make the woman that is come into thy house like Rachel and like Leah.
What an honor, huh?
Right, which too did build the house of Israel.
That's right.
Well, so she was used to build the beginning of the Jew and the Gentile coming together as the one new man. See, the other gentleman, he wasn't willing to take her and to build up that inheritance, you know, or the property. He didn't want anything to do with it.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
He didn't want anything to do with it. He didn't want to be a kinsman redeemer.
Mm-hmm.
But Boaz was righteous, and he did what was right in the eyes
that's
of
right.
God. See, you do something that's right in the eyes of God, it's not always right in the eyes of men.
That's right.
Because men don't really see the end from the beginning.
That's right, absolutely.
And we have to see the end from the beginning. Naomi saw the end from the beginning.
Yes, she did.
And she gave her instructions, exact instructions, what to do. And this is our instruction book. God gives us instructions on what to do,
absolutely,
how to order our life and what to do. But many times we jump ahead of God or we drag behind. But see, she was obedient in everything that she was told to do. You know, she willingly, she wasn't coaxed to go with her mother-in-law. She willingly went with her. Mother-in-law even said, no, you stay here in your own land. But no, she knew where she knew who she was and where she was to go.
That's right.
So she was obedient and she followed her mother-in-law back into the land of Israel, where she had property. See, she had property, but if she didn't, she was willing to go to return to get that property back.
She'd been gone for at least 10 years, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the property was all, you know, it's just like Israel.
Yeah.
The property is always theirs. Some people say, well, it's not theirs. It always has been. It always will be. And they will have every inch of that property that God has promised them. But, you know, it's interesting how everyone that's blessed is obedient.
That's right. I was going to share that.
So everyone,
obedience, yeah.
Everyone who receives the blessings of the Lord, they must be obedient. And things don't always happen when we expect them to happen or when we want them to happen. I mean, she didn't want her husband to die, you know, or Naomi didn't want her son to die. But see, God had a greater plan.
That's right.
God had a greater plan. And so, and we see how it, he even has to sit in the gate, because this way, if he had not done it the right way.
You're right.
See, he could have just taken her when she was laying there next to him. He could have just taken her as his wife and so forth. And there'd be a lot of gossip going on, a lot of wrong things being said. You know, in Israel, you know, gossip is gossip. Gossip is at the gate, you know, many places. And that's even in the church. To me, it was a picture of the church. But see, he even went before the gate and with these 10 men.
These elders, yes.
These elders. And to make a decision.
That's it.
To make a decision. And he gave the other man, he had first choice.
That's right. He turned it down
because, you know, to him it was like, ooh, I'm not going to take this Moabite woman in and have a child with her. But see,
that was God's plan too.
That was God's plan.
That's right.
Because God doesn't want to leave anyone out.
Right.
And so he needed to bring up, and he wasn't boastful. He wasn't bringing this child up for himself.
That's right.
You know, Boaz wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
He knew it was because Naomi had lost her sons, and this would be from their name, from their heritage.
Right.
And so it even leads on down here. So here he is. Had this not happened, brought not a Jewish person, but a Gentile into this family. And this family led on down to
King David. From there down to Christ.
From there to Christ.
Yeah.
What if that had been left out?
That's right.
See, God had to finish the plan.
Yeah.
And you know, sometimes God's plan, somebody says, well, that's not God's plan. Why did that woman, why did her son die? You know, well, God, this is God's plan. And God always has, and God knows ahead of time, too, what's going to happen. But see, man's plans are not God's plans.
God's plans will always happen, won't they?
God's plans will always happen.
That's right.
But see, God's looking for people to be faithful.
That's
right.
And to
say this woman is going to be like Rachel and like Leah,
which
would build up the house of Israel.
That's right.
See, we're talking about building a house.
That's right.
Building up the house of Israel. And do thou worthily. You know, she was worthy. And to be famous in Bethlehem.
That's right.
Wow. Where did Yeshua was born? Where?
In Bethlehem.
And he came.
He wasn't born in Bethlehem.
Right.
Yeah, he was born in Bethlehem.
In Bethlehem.
Something else. That's right. He grew up in Nazareth.
That's right. So this is just such a prophetic picture of, you know, how God will use people who will listen. Even a young woman who's going to be taken off to, who's going to follow
that's
somebody
right.
off to a foreign land.
Let's read this advice here, Pastor Donna, of what Naomi told and how obedient Ruth was to this. Listen to this. I'm going to start in chapter 3, verse 1. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. And that's what she tells her. Wash thyself therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor, and make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay there down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. Now, she didn't go in and have some kind of sexual relationship with him.
No.
She slipped in there at night and just laid at his feet. And she said unto her,
which could look bad.
That's right.
In the eyes of others, you
know.
That's
right.
So, but you know, but she, and even that, you know, say something. Well, gee, that doesn't sound like a good thing to do.
That's right.
But see, she didn't question her mother-in-law.
Mm.
She just did what she said, and she was, you know, she prepared herself, and she did exactly
right.
What she said, even though it doesn't matter what other people think.
That's right. So then, verse 5 says, and she said unto her to Ruth,
all
that thou sayest. Unto me, I will
I
do.
Will
That's
do.
What Ruth said unto her mother-in-law. I said it backwards.
Obedient.
So who? Ruth said unto her, her mother-in-law, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. And she went down unto the floor and did according to all, hear this, according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn, and she came softly and covered his feet and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight.
That's a picture of a servant.
That's right.
That's a picture of a servant coming to lay down at your feet.
That's
you know?
Right. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. And he said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. She wasn't going after some man. Huh? And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know, this is key, doth know that thou art a virtuous woman.
Amen.
Isn't that incredible?
A virtuous woman.
That's right.
A virtuous woman.
And he says, and now it is true that I am thy near kinsman, howbeit there's a kinsman nearer than I. So there's one between them, right?
She was basically asking him, you know, to cover her, to be my husband.
That's right.
Be my mate, you know, and fulfill my call.
That's right.
Because she knew she had a call. Every woman has a call to have children, to raise up children, godly seed. And so she knew that she had that call. Well, that's why she followed her mother-in-law back, because she knew there was a plan and a purpose for her life, and it wasn't to go back to her relatives, to go back to the old way. She had already learned the ways of the Lord because she was married to a Jew.
That's right.
and she had a godly mother-in-law.
Yep.
Who she honored and respected.
That's
and
right.
She did everything that she said.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if she didn't honor her and respect her, she would have questioned her. She didn't question her at all. She just was obedient to the word of the Lord, because she believed that the word of the Lord was speaking through her mother-in-law, through Naomi.
And she didn't really know whether this first Redeemer was going to be the one that she was going to marry. She didn't know at that time that he was going to turn it down.
Well, she didn't even know there was another one, maybe,
yeah.
You know, according to these words here. Because she says, I am Ruth, thy handmaiden. Spread, therefore, thy skirt over thy handmaiden. That's basically saying to me, it's saying, take me in, let me be your wife.
Yeah.
You know, cover me.
Mm-hmm.
What is a husband? He's a protector, he's a coverer.
Amen.
He fulfills the desires, you know. He brings forth the seed so that the next generation will come forth. So she's asking him, you know, for thou art a near kinsman. And then he goes on and says, but see, God had already had it planned. Because he had already said, you know, that he would take care of her.
Mm-hmm.
And that she was a virtuous woman.
That's
awesome.
Right.
Awesome.
Incredible woman of God.
God, you know, God's faithful. God's
mm-hmm.
faithful. Things may look like at the end, you know, she could have just stayed back in her own country. Could have been the end. She maybe never have any children or never have
That's
anything.
Right.
Or walked away. She would have been walking away from her plan or destiny that the Lord had for her. See, sometimes things don't always look the way that we want them to look.
That's right.
So, but we have to press on to the higher calling, because God has a plan.
That's right. He always does.
Thank you, Lord. He
so,
always has a plan.
So the Redeemer was what? He was passed down to the next one, which was Boaz. So, you know, it doesn't even give this guy's name, does it, in here? We don't even know who he is that refused to accept Ruth as his wife.
He's not important enough to mention.
That's right.
You know, God, and that's another story, too. God always gives somebody a chance.
That's right.
Now, had he taken the responsibility,
that's right.
Then his name would have been there instead of Boaz.
That's right. So it's incredible.
But it didn't work out that way.
It didn't work out that way, did it? So I'm going to go back to these names. I think it's incredible because we see this, right? You know, we know Boaz represents strength, and our Heavenly Father is our strength. We know that. And then Naomi was Jewish, and her name means my joy or pleasant. So the Jewish people truly are. They're God's joy. And then Ruth, I always think about myself because I'm a Gentile. Ruth means something worth seeing. So God sees something worth seeing in us. And so God saw something worth seeing in Ruth because he knew her heart and what she was going to do. Isn't it incredible? She was a virtuous woman. It's incredible.
Thank you, Lord.
Ladies today that's in the body of Christ, we should pursue you ladies after being what?
Thank you, Lord.
A virtuous woman. I mean, totally pure and holy before the Lord. That's what we need today, don't we, Pastor Donna?
Thank you, Father.
So it's quite an event that happened. And it's not a story. It's an event that happened. And so I think about, you know, how God used Boaz as well.
And Obed means what, did you say?
Obed means a worshiper.
A worshiper.
So her son.
Who taught him how to worship?
That's right, his mother.
His mother.
And his mother-in-law.
And his grandmother.
Or his grandmother, I
should
say.
They taught him how. And she had a lot to do with his raising him up.
Sure, Ruth, and I'm sure Naomi taught Ruth a lot of things about the Jewish faith and all that. And so this son that came, and it told you right up here in verse 16 of chapter 4, and Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom, became nurse unto it, okay?
That's right. She taught him the ways of the Lord, the ways of the kingdom.
That's right. So, wow.
Wow. Wow.
So all these men that we mentioned here at the bottom of this chapter 4, they all lived before this time. And then we come down here to Boaz, and we see, and Boaz begat Obed, we've talked about, and Obed.
And here we have our 10 generations, and now we can come back to the house of the Lord. And what did David do? David brought the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem.
He sure did.
Wow. Well, this is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton, and we are just run out of time. We're blessed to be here every Saturday. You can go back and listen to this program again on WCNO.com, or you can call us, and we'd be glad to send you a CD.
Yeah.
If you'd like a calendar, you can call us, and also we would be glad to send that to you as well. I want to mention that we will be having Prophet Gary Brooks with us in June 6th, 7th, and 8th. That's
Hallelujah.
A Friday, Saturday, and a Sunday, 3 days in a row. Praise God. We also have services here in Stuart, Florida. And our services are on Sunday at 10 a.m., Friday at 7, and also on Saturday. We have services in Bible school and prayer Saturday evening. So if you'd like to know more about the ministry, or you'd like to have a calendar, just give us a call. We'd be glad to send it to you. Phone number here in Stuart, Florida is area code 772-285-7007. I'll mention that again. Area code 772-285-7007. It's Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton with Spirit of Prophecy Ministries.
Well, we'll give you a challenge. Read the little book of Ruth this week.
Amen.
And see what the Lord shows you. It's an
so
incredible book.
Chapters.
So as we close this program, we do it every week because we love people. We tell you to look up. Because your redemption draweth nigh. As we close, I tell you, God bless you. And what do we say, Pastor Don?
Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives. And remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of Prophecy.